Am I alone here? Must I do this myself? So be it. Rage. Penrith.
Shiny!
Quest Gaming Networks presents Dungeon Crawler. All the loot hunting tips, tricks, and commentary your instanced adventure can handle. Welcome to Dungeon Crawler, your favorite dungeon crawling, loot-stealing, zombie-in-a-barrel-killing podcast of the week. Ain't that right, Liz? Zombies in a barrel. Watch out for them.
Skeletons in a barrel.
Skeletons in a barrel. Same thing. They either way, they hop out and try to kill you.
And
moving on.
Scared me.
Oh my God. Today's record date. It's December 8th, 2012. This is episode 6 that you're listening to. My name is Dave Dean Force Adams. With me tonight is Brian, our wonderful, wonderful writer of the network and an amazing co-host for this show. Also with us tonight, back again, is our wonderful guest and illustrious co-host, Liz. Liz LeBeau. Mistress Liz LeBeau. How are you doing tonight, guys?
Doing great. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you both here.
I'm a little miffed that you announced Brian before me. Whatever. Yeah, let's see how it is.
It's everyone's equal here.
Okay, we were just going in alphabetical order.
Yeah, everyone's equal except me, because I'm awesome.
All right.
All right, tonight we are sponsored by Tweaked Audio, some of the top quality earbuds that money can buy. Lifetime guarantee on these bad boys. Remember, off the record, all one word, at checkout gives you 30% off of all items in your cart. That brings the cheapest earphones they have down from $19.99 to $12.99. And don't forget to pick up some of the best pink headphones you can from tweakedaudio.com. All right, that was a fast and dirty sponsorship there, but we do want to get into the meat and potatoes. Yes, I'm stealing it. Meat and potatoes of today's show.
Oh my gosh, you're gonna get sued. Oh my God.
I know.
And then we're gonna find your body in a ditch somewhere.
It
and
is.
Then I'm
gonna
have to take
bad.
Over. Okay.
What? Are you trying to usurp my position?
Sounds like she just crafted a brilliant plan right there on the spot. Yikes.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
That's your own fault.
You're trying to kill me.
I didn't say that. I just said your body in a ditch. I didn't say dead.
So I'm just going to be alive hanging
Maybe
out in a ditch?
You know, laying in a ditch somewhere.
All
Maybe.
Right, Liz, you're fine.
Oh, it's
moving
great.
On.
it's great.
Wow. Before we actually get into the show, I do want to talk a little bit about our Christmas Titan Quest giveaway.
Oh my God.
Are we excited for this or what?
Oh my God.
Yay.
Yes, that's right. Christmas right around the corner. We wanted to do something special for our fans. So we have a Steam code for Titan Quest for any of our fans who are willing to write in with your best Dungeon Crawler Christmas Carol. Yes, that's right. We want your Christmas carols made up in the style of a Dungeon Crawler. Yeah, that's I'm expecting a few Rudolph parodies, some 12 Days of Christmas parodies.
Oh yes,
I'm looking forward to it. So
and we will take the dreidel song as well, just for our Jewish fans as well.
Anything you got? This is we just want to give y'all a chance at a wonderful present and a great game. That's Titan Quest. And just send in your email to dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com with your entry. And the best one will win it and take home their very own copy of Titan Quest.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
It is. I'm excited about it. So before we actually get in, speaking of Titan Quest, I do want to say for the people who just can't wait or to just if you don't want even, you know, attempt to try, but I do recommend it for the free copy. Humble THQ Bundle is out right now at humblebundle.com.
What is it called?
The Humble THQ Bundle.
Oh, Humble Bundle. I like that.
Yes, the Humble Bundle.
And what does it mean?
Well, the Humble Bundle program is where gamers, like the big gaming companies, will get together a few of their games. Like this time, it's the THQ games. And they put them all in a bundle and they say, hey, everybody, pay us however much you want to donate. We'll donate a portion to charity. A portion will go to us for paying us for the games. But it's however much you want to pay. And if you pay the average, which at this point, as we just checked it before the show, the average for this Humble Bundle is $5.62. And along with Titan Quest, if you pay the average price, you do get Titan Quest in the bundle. So just for that, $5, $6 for Titan Quest, oh, worth it. But on top of that, you get a bunch of other games like Darksiders, you get Saints Row the Third, all these other things come along with it, but we definitely did. We picked up a copy of this, and one of our wonderful, illustrious people on the show actually got Titan Quest today. Liz, do you know who that is?
Somebody awesome.
I didn't get it today. I already
had
it.
That's cold.
Dave was feeling sorry for me, so he gifted that.
Yeah, Merry Birthmas.
Yes, Merry Birthmas. 10 days. You have 10 more days, people, to send me stuff. Dave already checked me off the list, so.
Yeah. So we're getting close to Liz's birthday and Christmas, so that must suck them being so close.
Yes, it does.
Oh, honestly, I'm so sorry. All right. First up, I do want to go ahead and, Brian, you actually have a lot of stuff that we talked about from last week. So I want to go ahead and start off with you. I want to hear what you've done this week.
All right. Well, it was an eye-opening week for me this week because you've probably heard me talk before on the show about how much I get killed in Diablo 3. I just think I'm just terrible at it. And well, that's probably still true, but
I've actually heard that you're worse than I am. Is that
possible? Yeah. It's absolutely true.
You're my favorite now. No, I don't feel so bad.
It's all because I just didn't know what the heck I was doing. I don't know how I missed the boat on this. But so I'm playing my Demon Hunter and Dave hops in the game with me and he's like, "Hey Brian, you're wearing some stupid stuff. And your weapons
well,
are crap."
Well, I said it more polite than that. I said that.
Well,
I know this is the way you had to have said it because I've heard this myself. He goes, "You're wearing that, yeah." That's the way he does it. That's what he does.
Yeah. So when he said that, I pretty much knew I was wearing something stupid. So.
Right.
Well, okay. I shouldn't say that you're wearing something stupid. Brian's gear for his Demon Hunter was actually pretty good if you're just going pure DPS. And right. We were playing around in what, Monster Power 3?
Yeah.
In Act 1, we were in Act 4, weren't we, for a while? No, we were only in Act 1.
Yeah.
And we had a few good Monster Powers on us. And I get it that you want a high DPS on a ranged character. If you stay at range.
Yeah, I like to poke their eyeballs out, though.
Yeah, I get it that you're less likely to miss if you're standing an inch away from your enemy. But I promise it's okay to stand further back if you're a ranged character. So,
same thing. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I learned a little bit of a lesson there. But it's funny because I built my Demon Hunter to be pretty good at range. I've got the ability that shoots the bolts, you know, a wide spray of them, so I don't have to be right next to them to hit them. It goes all over the screen. And I've got traps that, you know, fire all around me. So, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. So I wasn't built for pure DPS. I kind of had a mix of things on me, and I couldn't stay out of the way. So that was really becoming a problem for me. So Dave and I looked around. We found some new gear. We found some new, a new crossbow, I think. We found a new set of armor, a new set of, I think we found new pants, actually, which, you know, don't normally wear pants, but I did this time. And
well, the thing is you didn't have any all resist.
Right. That's, yeah, I had no all resist, so I wasn't resisting anything. I didn't have any life on hit, I don't think, not much anyway.
Right, that was another thing we worked on, and we got you, what, a manticore?
Yeah, yeah.
Which, and that's the crossbow, the legendary crossbow for your class. Yeah. And the manticore that you got had almost 1,000 life on hit. And then on top of that, we threw a life on hit gem into it.
That's right. Yeah, so now instead of, you know, getting one-shotted by, what was it, a little spiderling.
Yeah, I remember that. That was
it was, yeah, a little
ironic.
Mouse bit me and I died. Now I'm actually gaining life when I hit these guys and staying alive a lot more, a lot longer, and it's working a heck of a lot better. So I learned my lesson. Thank goodness, because, man, I was getting really frustrated with my Demon Hunter. I didn't understand what the heck was going on. So that's good. It's a lot more fun now with my Demon Hunter. I played her quite a bit more, and I'm Paragon level 2 now, getting closer to 3, so we'll get there eventually, and, you know, maybe next year I'll hit 4. It's taking a while. So that was my Demon Hunter. I played a lot of her earlier in the week, and then the last part of this week I've been playing my Barbarian, which I haven't really done at all since this game came out, and I don't know why. I just haven't really... I don't know. I just haven't. I've been playing my Demon Hunter the whole time. But this Barbarian is awesome. He's really cool. I didn't know how awesome he was. He's just rolling through these enemies, even, you know, at the low level, and, you know, smashing everything in sight and hardly ever taking any damage. So it's been a lot of fun to get him going. I think I have him up to level 12 or 13 now. So I'm getting him through Act 1 there. And that's been really cool. I like the Barbarian. I'll keep playing him probably all the way. So that's been pretty awesome.
You know, I've leveled up every class of 60, and every single class seems to have a point where when they hit that point in every difficulty, they just come to a grinding halt.
Yeah.
And it really depends on your play style, but my brick wall, every difficulty, was Act 2 with my Barbarian.
Yeah, I could see that. I've never been a big fan of Act 2. I'm
a little concerned about either.
Oh, Act 2 has a lot of elemental damage in it.
Yeah.
Which is the problem. Every other act you can deal with getting beat up on physically. But there's... Act 2 is just... It's where I hit my brick wall every time. And you just gotta work through it. And I got to tell you, Brian, you're going to want to give up with the Barbarian, but it absolutely is worth it, and it does become very powerful.
Well, that's good to hear. I'll keep that in mind, because, yeah, I've never been a big fan of Act 2, and if you're telling me he's going to be grinding through there as well, that's a little scary, but I'll push through, just because I like Act 3 a lot. It's probably my favorite act, actually.
Yeah, I love Act 3.
Yeah, so I'll get there, at least make it that far with him and keep going from there, so... Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I don't know. With they just threw up these nerfs to make it a little bit easier to get through. It may be easier now. Honestly, yeah, it really could. But I don't know, because I hit 60 on everything right before 1.5 came out, or 1.0.5. So I don't know how it is now, and I'd love to hear how it is leveling up through it.
Yeah, I'll see how the leveling is. With this patch in there, I guess, and I'll let you know. Hopefully I don't die a ton like I do with my Demon Hunter.
Now, before you can continue on, I do want to make mention that, as you said, I hopped into Diablo with you. Actually, I spent more time playing the Auction House than actually playing the game, but the Auction House is just ridiculous.
That's right.
It's some of these prices are just dirt cheap for good stuff.
Yeah, there's a fire sale going on right now. I mean, it's a Christmas miracle or something. I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff on sale.
Well, it's obvious what's going on. The market's getting flooded because drops are so easy to come by. now that the nerf has come out with 1.0.5. Stuff is coming out on the market at such at a higher rate than it's being taken out of the market from people purchasing, which there's no way to reasonably rationalize destroying these legendaries and really rare items when drop rates on plans are so much lower than the drop rates on just legendaries that are just out in the world.
Right.
You don't have a reason to break them down. You're not getting plans to make new items fast enough to give you pause to break items down. So stuff is just being thrown up on the auction house, and when people get sick and tired of it, they throw it back up on the auction house after using it for a while. So all these items are just flowing into the auction house and sitting there. I upgraded everything. I went through it. I upgraded everything on my character. I picked up a Maximus again, which I missed my Maximus.
I'm glad you got a new one.
I did. I got a new one, and I'm happy about it. Are
you going to sell this one too?
No.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, this is my baby.
Aww. It's not as good as the first one, though, is it?
It's better.
No way, really?
Yes, this one has like over... This is Maximus' sequel. It has over 300 strength on it.
What was the last one? Do you remember?
It was like 200-ish.
I wouldn't give any numbers because there's going to be some listener being like, I just listened to that episode.
Yeah, there's going to be somebody who knows. So if you can tell me. But this one's awesome, and I'm happy I got it. On top of that, I upgraded my Bull Kathos set, the main hand offhand set, which gives you the ability to it randomly makes you spin.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
I upgraded that, which I upgraded both of them for cheap. They were nothing to upgrade. So I have my main hand one has like almost 1,000 life on hit just on the main hand weapon. And I use the main hand weapon with my shield, which, by the way, I picked up a good storm shield as well. And for all of this stuff, which I picked up a few other things, but for everything, I spent less than 250,000 gold, which I can make that in half of a run.
Yeah, that's amazing. You were telling me all the stuff you were finding, and it's like, it's only how much? What?
Yeah, they have some of these things that are like, if I buy this legendary and break it down, I could sell the materials for more than the legendary. It's honestly, if you want to pick up Diablo 3 right now, if you're going to play the auction house, this game has become just easy mode.
Really? Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, I'm not sure if that's a good thing, though.
For me, it is. I think so. Well, I like it like that, though, you know.
I'm not sure I like it like that. I realize that now that there's more on the auction house, prices has become more reasonable.
Right.
But I liked the idea that there was something to work for.
Okay, I know what you mean.
I liked, you know, when I got my Maximus, that first Maximus, right after 1.0.5 dropped, I remember picking that thing up and thinking that was the coolest thing in the world. That Maximus that summoned a demon. And I spent all of my money I had. I can't remember how much it was. I caught some idiot who didn't know what he was putting it up for. And I got it. Which should have been like 21 million. I picked it up off the auction house for, I think, 7 million.
I'm trying to equate it to, like, you know, when you were a kid and you got that toy, but then I realized you guys aren't the same age as I am, so I can't make the reference.
at the time, it was so difficult to actually farm Inferno, to actually make the money to purchase the stuff off the auction house. if you didn't have the capability to already farm Inferno, you weren't going to farm Inferno.
Right. So now the change has become since the monster powers, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that same time. So the day that hit and I picked up that Maximus, I spent all of my money on it. And I really felt that it wasn't an investment. It was a toy. It was something that I hadn't needed. I didn't even, it wasn't...
It was a present.
It was a present. And it made me feel special because it was all that time and effort poured into buying that present. And now seeing a Maximus of what would be pretty much equal or better being sold for, dirt cheap. I saw a Maximus, I think, for 20,000 gold up on the auction house.
Really? Oh, that does kind of cheapen it for you. I'm sorry.
That's ridiculous. I paid 7 million, 7.5 million. Actually, they were going for 20 million. They're now selling for 20,000. It's disheartening to see that the prices have moved that much. But I understand why. I do understand why. And I don't want to sound like I don't want others to have the Maximus. It's not that. I don't want it to be exclusive. I want it to be worthwhile.
I see what you mean.
So, there's got to be something done. And I'm sure that, when the developers go in there and see what's happening and realize, oh, the market's getting flooded, then they're going to have to do something. And unfortunately, their precedent is a full server wipe.
Really?
That's what they do with Diablo 2. Remember the seasons?
Yeah.
The ladder system? Yeah. That's how they keep that balanced, is they wipe it out. And honestly, that being their precedent, that would be a horrible thing for them to do to Diablo 3. They're going to have to come up with something like turning in legendaries for currency or something.
But then everybody would be having, like, millions and millions of dollars, or gold.
Well, but they're already not spending gold because stuff is so dirt cheap that you're still making the same amount of gold you were making at 1.0.5's release, but now you don't have to spend nearly a fraction as much because stuff is so cheap on the auction house.
Yeah, so people still hoarding their gold. I mean, there's
right.
nothing.
People are making a ton of gold. They're getting all these crazy items. There's got to be a way. The bubble has popped. We need some gold sink.
Okay,
we don't have a gold sink.
What if the gold sink happens in an expansion?
You know what? Then that expansion needs to come out pretty dang soon.
Yeah.
It really does. All right, I'm sorry about knocking you off course here, Brian, but I needed to get my two bits in there. Liz, anything you need to say about Diablo before we move on?
Oh, real quick, that I wasn't able to play it because when I was away in Missouri, oh, that made me angry. Okay, that's it.
Oh, because of the online requirements?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's another thing. I get that the online requirements are to keep people from cheating at the game, but honestly, now that stuff is so abundant,
I mean, all I wanted to do was go in, and I had the time, because I wasn't gonna hook up the Xbox because I had these little kids with me, and I was like, they're gonna want to play this, so I wanted to go on my laptop and keep them away from the toys. And yeah, all I could play was, I think, the demo to Torchlight 2 because I had to be online for everything else. It made me angry. Sorry.
No, that's okay. You know what? Let it out. You know what, Brian? I'm going to go ahead. Let's talk about the Diablo news.
Sure. Let's move on.
I'm going to come back to you. Don't worry. But I do, just since we're here, let's talk about it. First thing, the Diablo 3 patch has released. And I know that everybody's been waiting for this one because we all know that, 1.0.3 was a big deal, right? 1.0.4. Game changing. 1.0.5, the whole world changed again. So Guys, I want to welcome you to Diablo 3, patch 1.0.6. Bug fixes.
Yay! And there was much
rejoicing. I'm so excited I have to log off and go play now. Sorry, guys.
Oh, boy. Literally, the bug fixes, and I'm not talking fixes plural. Well, yeah, it's plural, but we're going to talk about both of them. No, we're not. It's really, honestly, was this worth putting out a numbered patch for? Like, gee, that's what we have to look forward to now. No, you know what we have to look forward to? We were tantalized on Twitter by Jay Wilson saying that we'll be doing a PvP blog update soon. Sorry to keep you waiting. Okay? Now here's what he has to say on PvP. And this is a talking point that I think we need to get into, but here's what he has to say. There is no specific PvP gear. Only good gear for PvP depending on your build. Oh, now that's tantalizing. And now he has another tweet that says, "Oh, I spoke too quickly when I said very soon. Some complications have arisen that have forced a delay." And this is talking about the PvP blog. So that's all we get.
Yeah.
Wow.
Complications have arisen.
What is their view on very soon? What is their time for very soon?
Let's see. StarCraft Ghost was in development. Well, okay. In Diablo terms, when did Diablo 2 come out?
2000.
Very recently,
2001?
Right?
2001.
Oh
no, it wasn't. It wasn't 2001, was it?
I don't know.
No,
I 2000.
I don't know.
You don't know this? Now we have to look it up because somebody's going to be like, you don't know. Okay. I'm on it, guys. I'm on it.
Okay, good. Yeah, no. Let's say I'm going to guess within the next 1 to 2 weeks.
2000.
It was 2000, though. Okay. Then I'm going to say within the next 1 to 2 weeks to 2043. We'll be seeing a PvP blog update.
Well, I'm busy in 2043, so I hope they come out with it before that.
Yeah, I also... First
of this year, we're all going to die.
Actually, I have on good, reasonable standing that Blizzard was actually to help usher in the end of the world, but that also has a soon tag next to it, so that's been pushed back till after the PvP update.
Sorry. I was trying to take that so seriously, and I just couldn't.
Oh, goodness. Now... The big thing that we need to take from here is when he says that there's no specific PvP gear, only good gear for PvP depending on your build.
What does that mean?
This was actually directly stated before. Jay Wilson and the team, the developers for Diablo, will not be making separate gear for PvP. The same gear, the same stats, the same numbers that you find on your normal gear will affect in PvP the same way it would affect in PvE. So if there's an issue in PvP, a specific class, a specific stat is too powerful in PvP, it will be changed the same way in PvP as it is in PvE. So the fears that we had that any problems that arise with discrepancies between classes in PvP will affect PvE based gameplay. So that one thing that could possibly be a bad selling point for PvP will be included in PvP. So just so we have that out in the open, honestly, they could make PvP, so in no way affects PvE. They will not be doing that. That just seems like too much work.
Yeah.
So, glad we have that out in the open.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. I'm not going to like that if they, you know, find some changes that, you know, it's not balanced in PvP, so we're just going to fix it. We're going to nerf it for everybody, and then, oh, now all of a sudden I can't play my character in PvE either. I'm getting destroyed there too, so... That's a little fr- I mean, it's nice that you don't have to have separate sets of gear, but, I mean, when you think about how it affects your gameplay, you know, across the entire game, that's really frustrating. I don't like the sound of that.
See, I wish I could say that they didn't have precedent for issues between PvP and PvE gameplay, but I played WoW during Burning Crusade. Okay, and if you don't know what that means, that's what happened. They had such issues that they, on a weekly basis, it felt like you weren't playing the same class in that game.
Wow, so they've done it before. And,
it was horrible. Huh? So yeah. We have to expect that they're going to go through the same trials and tribulations in Diablo 3 as they did in WoW. And you're just going to have to deal with it until they come up with a balance that will come up with the most minimal amount of crying from both parties.
So when PvP comes out in 2043 and they'll finally get it balanced in 2052, then we'll be good to go, right?
It'll be somewhere around that time, but
okay.
I recommend keeping your fingers crossed that it's only that long.
Fingers crossed.
Okay, good. All right, let's
hey,
go.
We're all in the old folks' home at that point. Can we play together?
Yeah, I think we'll be able to land by then, because I'm pretty sure that by then they're going to have to include offline capabilities. So.
Because we won't know how to get on the internet by then.
Right. All right, Brian! Let's get back to you. I'm going to pick on you again.
Oh, boy.
What else have you been doing this week?
Well, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I picked up Dungeon Siege 3 and was excited to give it a chance and give it a fair shot. And, well, I don't like it. It's been... I need to give it more time. I'll say that, you know, for any diehard fans out there, if there are any. But It's just so different than what I was expecting and what I've gotten used to, I guess, with Diablo and with Torchlight, that it just made it really hard to play. And I think probably the most frustrating thing for anybody who has considered getting it or maybe has played it, and maybe you'll agree with me, but the controls on the game are so frustrating. You know, they made this game for PC and for consoles, and I'm wondering if that's why. It's designed to the camera moves around. You have to control the camera, let me put it that way. And so it's not like in Diablo where the camera just follows your character wherever you go and it fades out the buildings if you go under a roof or something. You have to move your camera around to follow your guy. So I'm trying to fight and I'm trying to position myself and control the camera, and maybe I'm just getting too old, but I can't do all that. It's really frustrating.
You need still three hands?
Sorry.
I know. Other games do it, and because
I need to think of that so I can actually visualize it. I'm serious, like yeah.
Honestly, dungeon crawlers rarely have you control the camera. You're gonna find dungeon crawlers are more, they call it isometric, where the camera is stabilized and it watches your character, and it may even follow your character. Come on, have y'all played Devil May Cry, right?
Yeah.
Never even heard of it, but now that you mentioned that, I was like, yeah, every other RPG you play with like the left stick and the right stick camera. Okay, I'm retarded. I'm taking that back.
Well, no, there are dungeon crawlers that have you control the camera as well as your character.
Right.
Phantasy Star Online 2, for instance, forces you to control your character and the camera independently.
Right.
But it keeps things controlled to the point where you can abandon the use of the camera for a few seconds to use skills or stop moving for a second to use skills, and right. it won't impact gameplay to the point where it'll stop you from doing what you need to do. But I do understand that there are some games that it would feel a lot better if it followed, if the camera wasn't independent.
Right. And I can compare it to the camera on an MMO where you can move it all around in an MMO, you know, to get the view better. You have to control the camera and your character. But in this one, you can't move it up and down to get, you know, around a tree or over a building. It's just a fixed location, and it's so frustrating. So that was my biggest issue early on, and I suppose I can maybe get used to that the more I go. But the other problem I have is I'm used to playing a dungeon crawler and getting a ton of loot dropping on the ground and, you know, going into my inventory and seeing what's good, what's bad, what I need to get rid of. This game, that's so far for me impossible to do. Like, something drops and you actually have to find it on the ground. It doesn't pop up and say, hey, here's a new sword. You have to go find something that happens to be a little bit different color than the grass and pick it up. And good luck trying to actually pick it up because it's not
honestly
highlighted.
That's my only frustration with Titan Quest.
Right, yeah.
You know, Titan Quest, yes, there's a way to make it so it shows the things on the ground, but if you're not actively looking for the things that are on the ground, some things can blend in a bit.
Yeah, they do, you're right.
And I get that frustration from that game as well. You know, that same thing happened with Diablo 2 if you weren't pressing the Alt key at all times.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm.
I hated
that. That was terrible.
So, yes. And you know what you're complaining about, Brian, that really what you're talking about is they have normal everyday conventions for games that you find that have just become quality of life that are universal throughout the entire genre nowadays.
Yeah. And then when they don't include them,
it becomes blaringly obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's...
I'm reading an IGN review on this game right now just because I've never actually even heard of it. And wow, they went to town on this one. And right when you were talking about the boring loot and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't read any reviews before I bought it. I should have done that.
I usually try
sale.
Not to answer, but...
Well, no, that's the thing is this game is one of those Dungeon Siege, and it's one of those games that I've heard people either love it or hate it. And it's that cut and dry. I recommend everyone trying it because I know people who love it. Who love Dungeon Siege.
Yeah.
And then there's the other group. There's the other side of the fence that who hate it. Who just, it rubs them the wrong way completely. And I've never heard anything but the two ways about it.
Yeah, and if I'm making anybody mad here by saying I don't like this game, let me also say that I love the first Dungeon Siege. I haven't played it in a long time, but I played the heck out of that game. So I don't know what's changed in the last however many years.
Now,
and I didn't
now
play
exactly
the
which one is this? Is it Dungeon Siege 2 that you're talking about?
This is 3. Dungeon
is
Siege 3. 3. And so I guess I was expecting more of the same. And honestly, it's been a long time since I played it. Maybe my experiences have faded over time, but... not what I remembered, not what I was expecting. And
well, honestly, Diablo 2 was where it was at back in the day, but now it's a grind if you want to pick it up after playing Diablo 3. It's like,
right.
Why is it that the gold doesn't pick itself up? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to give it a little more time. I'm not trashing it because it's sitting there in my inventory staring at me, so I'll keep playing it, but it's not my favorite game yet. So,
well, yeah. I'm hoping you do find that point where you love it. I'm really
yeah.
am.
Now,
there's been some big games come out in this past week, and I know that you picked up a big one that we actually named the last episode about. So I want to talk about it.
Yes, Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition has come out. It's available on your PC, and it's now also available on your iPad. See, I bought both versions because I'm like that, but I haven't played it a ton yet, but I've played it a little bit on my computer and a little bit on my iPad, and so far it seems like it's going to be a better game on the iPad. Not necessarily that it's bad on the computer, but it's just one of those games that feels like it was built for the iPad, because there's a lot of games out there that kind of look like that already.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to use with a touchscreen. You just tap where you want to go, and they actually go there. The only problem you'll have is if you don't know what the menus are on the screen, you know, where you don't tap for your inventory or your map. I mean, because they're not labeled in the game. When you're playing on the computer, if you hover your mouse over it, it'll tell you what it is. But on the iPad,
oh, you're just looking at symbols.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'll just take a little time to have to learn that. But it really seems like it's working really well on the iPad so far. It came out, let's see, it was technically sent to Apple to be released on the iPad back on December 3rd, and it got rejected. And I don't know what it was about it that was wrong, but they said, Trent Oster, who was the creative director for the game, said that the current iPad build has been rejected by iTunes. We've got some work to do. But yesterday, December 7th, the game came out, and it sounds like it's doing really well. People are buying it. It was just ranked as high as the second highest game on the App Store. And it's really cool. If you have an iPad and you've been considering getting it, it was $10, but it looks like it's going to be $10 well spent, because there's a ton of new stuff in there from the original game, and it should be a fun game to play. But I'll keep playing it and let you know.
All right. Now, see, I'm usually not a fan of Apple products, but I am glad that this ported so well onto the iPad.
Yeah, it seems like it's just made for it. I mean, it looks great, and it plays great, and so far I have absolutely no complaints on it. So I'm going to keep playing it on the iPad for now. So
that's cool. All right. Let's see. Before we move on, and I know that I want to talk a little bit about Torchlight, because I know that Liz got into it. But before we segue into Torchlight, I want to talk a little bit about both Diablo 3 and Torchlight's trouble with the Video Game Awards presented by Spike TV. Over this past week, actually, I think it was last night or the night before?
Yeah, it was last night.
It was last night. Was the Video Game Awards on Spike TV, as I said. Both Diablo 3 and Torchlight 2 together, they were both up for the same different awards, the two different awards. One of them was Best PC Game, and the other one was Best RPG. Now, both lost out in both categories. If you want to look through them, there actually is a very good post up on Kotaku with each individual category and every game that won. In fact, our own Borderlands 2 won out a lot of different categories. It, you know, actually, one of my favorite ones that Borderlands 2 won out on is the best performance by a human male, which is Damon Clark, did the voice of Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2. And if you haven't played Borderlands 2, play it just to hear this guy.
It's on my Christmas Amazon wish list and birthday.
Hint, 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 world. Honestly, Handsome Jack is worth playing this game for. It really is. He's freaking hilarious. So, I'm very glad for how well Borderlands 2 did, but I'm a bit upset at the performance that we had with Diablo 3 and Torchlight 2. Now, the first one comes in the PC category, and it lost out to XCOM, which, if you don't know what XCOM is, it's a turn-based shoot-em-up, which isn't exclusive to the PC.
That's the part that got me. I tried to download that demo, and it just didn't work on my computer, so I was like, whatever. But, yeah, if it's open for, like, Xbox and stuff, that's not really PC. Yeah,
that doesn't seem fair, because, I mean, biggest games of the year come out on all platforms, so of course people are going to be voting for that game. Well, it's not PC exclusive. I mean, that's not fair.
Right, and I'm triple checking. I just want to make sure to see.
But I'm trying to find two.
Yeah, platforms, it came out on PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360. Now, it was up against a whole bunch of PC-only games. Now, the games it was up against was Diablo 3, Torchlight 2, and Guild Wars 2.
I'm surprised Guild Wars 2 didn't have a thing, because don't they have a big following?
No, they're only... A lot of people flocked to it at the beginning, just because it was the new thing on the street. But honestly, the only people who are going to stay with Guild Wars is the PvP crowd.
Okay.
Which, understandably, it is the PvP MMO. So, you know, that's what that is. But honestly, a non-exclusive game won in an exclusive category.
Yeah. That's the perfect way to put it. That makes no sense.
I get it that it's on the PC, but is it really the best PC game?
What else could they have put in that slot? I don't know how many. Did they...
Oh, there's a million different games.
What?
Halo 3 won in the best... Halo 4, whatever. Halo, insert random cookie cutter number here. Won in the Xbox category. It had been out for, I think, 48 seconds when it won? Yeah.
Well, that's true. But it was going to anyway. It was bound to.
Right.
The Halo crowd. But, I mean, how many other PC games that were that good to be put in that category?
I'd bet I could come up with more than a few.
I want you to do it right now.
I would put FTL, the game called Faster Than Light. If I had to pick one other game that's exclusive to PC to drop in XCOM's place that should have had that place for best PC game of the year, it would be FTL. And honestly, I think that could have won out over Diablo 3 and Torchlight 2 just because of how addictive that game is. If I had to put something in that category. But having XCOM right there instead of a, you know, exclusive PC game and having it win is kind of, I don't know, it's insulting.
Aww.
It really is. Now,
you need a hug?
No, because you're about to be mad at me. Also.
Oh, yes, I am. Okay.
Diablo 3 and Torchlight 2 were also up for the role-playing games award, but they both lost out to Mass Effect 3. Which, if you don't know, Mass Effect 3 is a dating sim with a shoot-'em-up aspect.
That's right.
Am I missing anything there, Liz?
No, because it's actually a role-playing game because you're playing the role of an actual character, not wizard who shoots stuff.
Okay. It's a dating sim.
I love it! I've never played it, but I love it because I know it is a lot like Dragon Age.
Honestly is. It is. Mass Effect 3 is a carbon copy of Dragon Age with guns.
Without Alistair, though, so...
Mass Effect 3 has and will always, to me, feel like a knockoff of what Dragon Age is. Now, I know someone's going to come out and say, well, Mass Effect 3 was out first, or it had its idea first.
It takes place in space.
Takes place in space, yeah.
It's the same concept. It's the same thing. It's kind of like how Torchlight is to Diablo.
It is. It's the same ideas. More and yeah. Honestly, Mass Effect 3, if you want to gauge it based on the people who played it, every single person I personally know who's played Mass Effect 3 has had a big fuzzy about how it ended. They threw a fit one way or another. And every person that... I have people who played Diablo 3 who just love the hell out of it. And it irritates me again that a game with such bad reviews versus a game like Diablo 3.
No. The reviews were because it was a story. It actually followed a story. And the way that it ended abruptly and you were like, oh, crap. There's nothing I can do because of the choices I made with this character. It was a story. Diablo 3, it has a story, but as you remember from previous episodes that we did where we were talking about, it doesn't really have a story. It has a little bit. It has something to keep you going for, but it's not like a story-based.
So if you could have married the Enchantress, would that have made it a better game?
Yes. That cool. is the greatest quote
oh
I've ever heard.
Oh my god!
My god, that was awesome. And yes. Although I hate her.
Oh, yeah. Oh god, I'm not even going to go there. Alright, moving on. Now, a true dungeon crawler category was not represented for in any judging for the games. Conversely, there were not only one, but two different sports games categories at the VGAs. And there literally was one sports category, which was basically insert sports brand game name, and then insert year of release games.
That was the team sports game.
Yeah.
Yep.
They literally made an extra sports game category just to hand Madden a prize.
Now, who won that? That was NBA 2K13.
Yeah, because there's anything special about that in comparison to 2K every other one.
2K, there's a 3 in it.
Oh, this one had a 3.
Know. Yeah.
Oh, glad to see that the cookie cutter changes a little bit. This is ridiculous. Like, Diablo 3 and Torchlight 2, they're damn good games. And anything that deserves recognition is something that goes out of its way to be special. It goes out of its way to separate itself from its previous incarnations. And these absolutely do. They absolutely give effort towards the next game in the series.
Do you think there should be a category for best sequel? Or would that be so debated because, you know, like, Super Mario would have 50 billion different things and...
Super Mario doesn't have a sequel, dang it.
Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3?
Those aren't sequels.
And then, yes they are. And then you've got to do, you know, like, Super Mario Sunshine. I'm just bringing that up just to as an example. It's the first thing that came out of my head. But should there be a category for best sequel in a series?
You know, if it's continuing the story and it's putting the effort towards continuing that,
right?
There absolutely should be. But
then
to
I think
say things like,
win.
You know, a basketball game 2013. Honestly, like we're really gonna say that? Those aren't games. They're rosters.
Oh my god, you're going to get so many emails. I can hear them coming in now.
Let them.
Okay.
Because I'll say it right now. I'll say it proud. The only Madden game I have any respect for is 96. Yeah, the one that came out on the PS1 because of its innovative gameplay. And that's what I judge a game on, is its gameplay. Not its updated rosters. Or how many people have bought the game. I honestly don't care what your opinion is or anybody's on a game because I judge it by its own merits on my own opinions. And that's what I believe that the game should be based on.
You go, girl.
You know, I want the games that are dungeon crawlers that I feel passionate about, I want them to be judged for what they are based on their competitors, not judging a dungeon crawler versus a dating sim or judging a dungeon crawler on a shoot 'em up.
But really, do you think that Diablo 3, I didn't even know that they were in the best RPG. Do you consider that an RPG? Diablo?
I consider most any game that isn't a sports game, an RPG. That is such a vague category now that it isn't even a category anymore.
I can understand that.
That's like saying, do you like cats? Do you like dogs? They're all the same thing, right? Because I honestly, I'm okay with big dogs. I can't stand the ones that are smaller than a cat.
The yippy dogs.
If my cat can eat that dog, it is not a dog.
Dude, your cat could eat a cow. I've seen pictures of your
cat. Okay, my cat is
Jabba
large.
Jabba the cat.
So I'm sorry for my ranting about the VGAs, but I'm just mad. I think that dungeon crawlers deserve a little bit more recognition than they're getting.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. It's like the Grammys. You got 15 different pop categories, 15 different country categories, and then you have, you know, one metal category, one rock category, and it's like that's not representative of the entire music industry. And the VGAs were not representative of the entire gaming industry. They weren't.
I don't know.
Well, they had best social game.
Oh my God! Can we talk about?
No,
I know that
you
we're
don't
getting.
Know Jack is one of the greatest games ever.
They had a freaking best social game, like Facebook games.
Yeah, that's retarded.
They had so that retarded. Before having a dungeon crawler.
Wow. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, really?
You know what did win?
They had a best handheld / mobile game.
That best downloadable game, we downloaded Diablo. Most anticipated game. Let's see, what else do we have here?
Oh my God! This is enough. We've harped on the VGAs long enough. We need to move on.
No, this is great. I want to keep going.
No, we've had enough. I want Liz. I need you to tell me about Torchlight.
After I tell you that SSX won for best individual.
We've already talked about SSX.
Okay. I just had to ring it up again for my peeps. Torchlight, yes. I only got to play the demo, and it made me so sad when I was going on to the next area and it said, okay, you're finished. It was right when I was really getting into the game. I love this game. Oh my God, thank you so much for letting me in on what this is. Oh my God. It's like Diablo without the pressure, and you run faster. Oh,
yeah,
that is the greatest part of this whole game. And you can enlarge the text so I can see what's on the ground. I know I'm going to win. I mean, I think I've died a couple times, but that's because, you know, I was paying attention to some dog that was behind me or something. But, oh my God, it's the greatest. And you can have your pets go sell stuff for you so you don't have to go back to town. I love it. I'm crying.
Now... I do want to say on air, Liz, that you will be receiving your copy, a full copy of Torchlight 2 from Dungeon Crawler to play and talk about on the show. Yes. Once again, Merry Birthmas.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, she squeezed.
I know. Okay.
Yeah, she got a little on me over here.
Yeah. So, Liz, tell me the classes you played. What do you think?
I played the mechanic one. What's that called?
The engineer.
Yes, and the mage. Ember mage. You know why I don't pay attention? I didn't pay attention to like much of the story or anything because
there
I knew
one.
I was just playing. There is no story. I was just playing the demo, so I was like, I don't want to get into this and really get into it and then be sad as I still was when the demo ended. But if I really do get this wonderful present from you, I'll be able to pay attention to that. I do have some questions. Do I need to focus like on my Ember Mage? Do I need to focus on just ice or electric?
This is the exact question we answered last week.
Shut up, because I wasn't paying attention.
Your Ember Mage, now, I can't tell you what your playstyle needs to be, but how I've played my Ember Mage successfully and enjoy it is I like to mix and match. Ember Mage is made for picking up different types of skills, different types of bonuses, and I love the passives. Play with your passives.
Okay, the passives. Now, you know how they're on different menu tabs or whatever.
Right.
You know, they will apply to all things, right?
Depending on the passive, but if it says your attacks gain, you know, such and such percent chance to poison,
right.
You know, burn, freeze an enemy.
Right.
That goes pretty much to anything.
Okay.
So yeah, absolutely. I love the passives on your Ember Mage because of how universal they are.
I like it. I do. I like it a lot. I just the best thing is the speed. if Diablo 3 had that running speed, I know that you kind of have to go a little bit slower because the enemies will crush you, but if I could go through these long places, like in stage 2 of Diablo 3, going across that desert, it just takes forever.
Big.
And I don't like that. I don't want, no. I want to be able to get out of there. So, yeah, Diablo 3, get some speed.
So, Torchlight 2, I guess, gets a thumbs up from Liz.
Yes. And a kiss.
And a kiss. Delightful. Mm. All right. Let's see. What else do we have to talk about? Is it my turn yet? I think it's my turn.
It's your turn.
All right. This one, I'm actually going to try to talk both of y'all into picking up Phantasy Star Online 2. This one, again, it still hasn't had its dang English release. They still haven't even released a beta or even a date that the English release will be coming out. And it's pretty obvious why. The whole game is voice acted. So everything that comes out needs to be translated. It needs to have voice acting put in. So that takes time.
Oh my God, why don't you volunteer?
Oh, I do.
That would be awesome.
Oh, give me the chance. I'll do every voice in that game. I have a high-pitched lady voice.
No. Do your audition now. You have to be able to do it in right at the second they tell you to.
Well, that's fine, because...
Hi, my name is Ian Force.
See? You get the job.
All right. I actually have some pictures here for my co-hosts. The Phantasy Star Online 2 had a December update on the 5th, and another one's coming out on the 12th. But the first one brought in things like Christmas events and a lobby, as well as Rappies, the enemy, in-game called Saint Rappies. They're Christmas Rappies. They have little bells around their neck, and they're pink and poofy, and...
Those are enemies?
Those are enemies.
Why would you want to kill them? They're so cute.
Because when you tear them open, there's goodness inside.
Oh, they're pinatas?
They're pinatas. Well, they're pinatas with souls, but that makes it fun.
Oh, that's just evil. Weird.
Anywho, but there's, like, a new NPC called Zia in the main city, the main area of town, and she gives out quests called client orders.
She sounds like a whore.
Wow. You see what she's wearing? She's wearing a cute little Santa costume.
Oh, I thought that was something that I could wear as my character. That's
you can. She gives out that. Well, you can get that as well, but that's what she's wearing in game. She's wearing this little cute little Santa costume, and she hands out client orders to people to go kill things and...
Sorry.
Goodness. All right. There's also a brand new quest. Now, I've talked about this before, how the game is a dungeon crawler MMO. There's a quest called Merry Christmas on Ice where everyone on the server gets it at the same time.
Weird.
Yeah, everyone who's in that server, when it happens, it turns on for everyone, and you can jump right into it. And there's multi-party areas where you see everyone on the server if you go into that quest, and they're on it also.
Wait, it doesn't take you out of the game you're currently playing. Like, you elect to go into the
Yes, you do okay. elect to go into it.
Okay.
It just pops up on the top of your screen in a scrolling bar. It says, hey... The emergency quest, Merry Christmas on Ice, is active, and you need to go do it. And you have the choice of doing it or doing whatever the hell you want.
That sounds fun.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun. So, also, there's, as I said, also the bonus prizes in-game. You have a chance of purchasing these scratch cards. That's how you get your bonuses in-game. You get scratch cards. And there's two different types of currencies you can purchase scratch cards with. There's one, which is called fun, which you get every time I think you level up, or every time you clear a major quest, or every time that you interact with another person in game, especially if you purchase things from their shops, or if you send congratulations for people when they level up. And depending on how much effort you put into your congratulations, you get different amounts of fun points. And that's literally what the currency is called, FUN. I'm not being funny. The fun points you then spend on these scratch cards, and the scratch cards can give you things from costumes to home decorations to even... That's right, home decorations. There are personal player housing within the game, and although you have to pay for your monthly subscription to have access to it. The thing is, there's also the AC. Now, AC, called Arcs Cash, is what you purchase from paying for the game. Now, the special Arcs Cash scratch cards give you the opportunity to have the special Santa outfits for Christmas. Yes.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Excited.
Yes.
Now, there's also Santa weapons, like that Saint Rappy, the pink puffy bird looking pinata thingy. There's weapons that are kind of made after that. So like there's a fan that has that on it. It's pretty neat. There's also a few extra game changes and additions were added into this game, such as new party matchmaking, new types of quests, like the time attack quests were now made to be soloable. Also, when you purchase the premium ability, the premium monthly subscription, you're able to pick up twice as many quests. Also, you get bonuses to your drinks in game, as well as, remember the fun? You get an increased percent on that as well. So, a whole bunch of new content was added with this latest update, especially on the 12th, they'll be bringing back an old boss from the previous game called Dark Falls, Phantasy Star Online. He was the big bad guy from Phantasy Star Online Episode 1. And Dark Falls has been brought back, and you can actually fight him in a ship-wide cooperative event. And again, this is another one of those events, just like the Christmas event, where everybody gets together and does the event. This one, everyone gets together and fights this one big bad boss. This is one of those industry standards that you see nowadays in games that have cooperative multiplayer, where there's one big boss and everybody's going to join up in a raid and beat him up. Well, this is sort of unprecedented in dungeon crawlers, and I'm glad to see this finally make its, well, it's finally rearing its evil, dark, ugly, multi-armed giant head. So, that's neat. Anywho,
you shouldn't talk about your mom that way.
Oh, that's mean.
I'm sorry, I took a few seconds and I was like, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I?
Well, I'm glad to see that you decided yes. Jerk. Anywho.
You chose wisely.
Yes! Now,
I bring up all of this to say a few things about my gameplay this week. I actually spent a lot of time playing Phantasy Star Online 2. And the cool thing is you get, as you further progress through the game, you get a chance to become better. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense now, but it will when you actually pick up the game.
Sorry.
As you progress through the game, at level 1, you have access to 3 different classes, and it always has been like this. It's been that when they released the game, you had 3 different classes. You have your hunters, which is your melee. You have your rangers, which is range. And then you have your forces, which is magic. And those were your only classes when they released the game. Now, this past few months, in fact, November was, I believe, the first one. No, it was October was the first one. Then November, and then in now, here in December, we have these updates that have brought in a whole bunch of new stuff. The first thing that they brought in, at level 20, which I'm level 16 on my hunter, but at level 20, when you reach level 20 with any of those three main classes, you unlock a quest which allows you to do something called subclassing. And this is the same thing that if you ever played Final Fantasy XI, they had the same deal, subclassing. You can now have a hunter at, let's say, level 20, and you can pick up a subclass. Let's say you want to be a force. You want to be a hunter that can use magics and have bonuses from your force class. Your force, even though it won't level up while you're subclassing it, it can be a maximum of a half of your main class. So let's say you're a level 20 hunter, you can have a subclass of a level 10 force. And you can gain a few of the benefits of being that subclass. So it brings in all these combinations and all these different types of builds that you can make that you couldn't have before. So
it's pretty cool.
That comes in at level 20, so that's pretty neat. Then they have a new thing. When you reach level 30, depending on which main class you reach it with, it unlocks a specialized class. For the hunter, which I'm working on right now, it's something called a fighter. At level 30, you unlock the fighter class, which brings you into a whole new range of DPS. It's all about super close quarters combat. You have no defense whatsoever, but you just pour damage into your opponent. And that's what it's all about. And then with the ranger, there's something called the gunner. Again, all about pouring damage into your opponent, but it's with weapons that you wouldn't normally think of. With like this one with the instead of the hunter using heavy weapons like a partisan or a two-handed sword, you have your fighter, which uses dual daggers, or it uses a two-ended sword. Like it's called a dual sword, and same things like that. But you'll see, like your gunner has a double pistol, and that's all he's about is stuff like that. But there's also, which is neat, that they brought out for the force, which was your magic user, has primarily been thought of to other classes to be brought along as a support unit. That
Do the force users have midichlorians involved?
You would think that, but they're elves is where they originated from.
I'm sorry.
So it's more or less because they were, you know, the weird experimenty people that they got to use that stuff. Anywho, so the forces, which actually that's where, you know, people call me D-Enforce. That's where the force from D-Enforce comes from.
Oh my God, now we know.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's what that's, because I was such a fan of the PSO that D-Enforce, I was a force in PSO.
That's cute.
So that's where that came from. So actually, when I went on to WoW, I made a mage. So mage was the magic user. So Dian, my magic user was my Dian force. So that's where that comes from. Anywho, the force, when it levels up to 30, has a special class called a Tekker. Now, the Tekker, the magic in the game is actually called techniques. So your Tekker is a melee character that can use techniques. He's basically a battle mage. I love watching these guys run around. They have these big hammers and they're fighting things and they have these crazy powers. Oh, I love it. So that's going to be my next step after I get my hunter up to where I can actually pick up fighter at level 30. I'm going to pick up my force and start working up to Tekker, because I want that as well. Oh, I'm so excited talking about this. I know I sound like a
it's adorable. Psychopath.
Anywho. Oh, see, you got me blushing. Goodness. All right. Aww. Anyway.
Well, I think it sounds cool. I can't wait to check it out.
I'm so excited for this, for the American release. Now, they have announced, they announced this at the last, I can't even remember what conference it was. It was announced by Sega that this game will have a U.S. release. In fact, it's going to be more of an international release, which is probably why it's taken so long, getting all the different languages and getting them right. But this will have an international release. They said spring of 2013. But keep in mind that the PlayStation Vita version of this game will be released in February. So after February, I expect to hear, in fact, probably during February, I expect to hear a release date for the international version of the game. Because February, they're going to not have anything else to do. So they're going to need something else to bring in the spotlight. So that's going to be the next big thing.
So do you recommend checking the game out right now, or should we wait until an American release?
I can definitely say it's worth playing. Now, I personally, I know it's against the terms of service, but I play with an English patch.
Oh my god, I'm telling on you.
I know, such a bad person. How dare I want to play the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it actually is a lot of fun. Even with it being patched, it absolutely is worth it. I'm so addicted to this game, I don't care that I can't read half of it because it hasn't been translated.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
It's,
I might check it out.
Again, this is all about gameplay, and this is the game that has it. I don't do that much of grouping because, well, I don't speak Japanese, but I do enjoy that the areas that they have that are multiplayer, because it's multiplayer, you share buffs even if you're not in a party with other people.
That's cool.
In the multiplayer areas. So the better your other people in multiplayer areas are doing, the better you do, and vice versa. So you can do some crazy things in multiplayer areas, especially if you have other people who are willing to stay and farm a little bit.
Nice. So that sounds cool.
It's really neat their way that they're bringing dungeon crawlers into an MMO sort of aspect. But again, you don't have to play in multiplayer areas. You absolutely can play this game single player, which is great, especially if you don't want to be caught for not speaking Japanese. This is, again, the next update for this one, which is going to break my English patch, is December 12th, and I'm personally looking forward to it. December 12th is going to be Dark Falls will be back for, you know, second round. So, there has been they said that there was going to be a monthly patch for PSO2. But it seems that they're more on the line of a bi-monthly patch, and the kind of effort that they're putting in and the kind of updates and content that are just pouring into the game. At the moment, the cap is level 50, but honestly, I can see it just continuing on from there. Just because there's so much that they can do with this game and have proven that they are continually putting effort into it. And the reception is so great that they have no reason not to bring it to, you know, the stateside for us to play. All right, guys, is there anything else that we haven't talked about? Any games that you want to bring up? And by games that you want to bring up, I don't mean Ultimate Alliance 2, Liz.
Dang!
Is there anything...
I was just going to say that you were right, and it really is not... fun.
It's It's something to pass the time.
It has Gambit in it.
Oh boy.
Okay. You were right.
That game's horrible. Brian, am I missing anything?
No, I think we covered it all.
All right, guys. If that means that we have one last thing to do, and that's wrap up the show. And the first thing to wrap up the show, I just want to give a few shout-outs to our wonderful listeners who are willing to come on and send a few reviews our way, especially our 5-star reviewers, which are HavocA20, Genis26, Tsunami619. Thank you. From America, thank you, guys. And from the UK, we have Richard H. And I do want to thank all of our 5-star reviewers, and we do appreciate them so much that we give them a shout-out on the show, whether they like it or not. And one more quick reminder for our Titan Quest holiday giveaway. If you are willing to write in, send us in your favorite Christmas carol, redone in the style of a dungeon crawler. That's right, Dungeon Crawler Christmas Carol. Then I promise to read it myself or force someone else to read it on air. And the winner...
You said
you're
going to sing it.
You be quiet. You be quiet.
Darn it.
The winner will receive their own key to Titan Quest. That's right. Titan Quest key for whoever can send in the best Christmas carol. And we will read it out on the show. Remember, also, paid mentions for the small fee of $10 will provide any kind of small ad or shout out to whomever or commemorate whatever you wish. Please go to our website and use the PayPal donate button or simply email us and we'll be happy to point you in the right direction. Now, you can reach us anytime at dungeoncrawlerpodcast.com. That's dungeoncrawlerpodcast.com. Or you can send us an email at dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to see any of our wonderful shows on our network, go to questgamingnetwork.com. Especially because Brian writes for most every single one of them. So check out
what
he does.
Good.
Yeah, he is.
Well, I'm okay.
Okay, then you suck.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, he's good. Don't listen to him. Now remember, our record days are Minecraft Off the Record is our live show on livestream.com/thequestshow. That records Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Elder Scrolls Off the Record records Thursdays. Dungeon Crawler records Saturdays. And I'm not sure if we're going to be able to record weekly just because we run on the content given to us. So if there's no news, we may be moving to a bi-weekly schedule. So that's just because we are reliant on news and community interaction. That's what we do. So, Adrenaline Gaming is on Wednesdays, and Quest Legion is on Fridays. Our Twitter, if you'd like to follow us, is DCrawlerPodcast, and that's on Twitter, @DCrawlerPodcast. You can tweet me @DInForce, D-I-E-N, Force, like PSO, Force. Brian is @SilentFury007. Oh, I'm sorry. SilentFury007.
Yeah, I just saw James Bond, so now it sounds even cooler. So
does it?
Not really, no.
He likes his martinis. Just please give him a martini.
Just a beer, thanks.
Beer. All right. Liz, you can find her @Mistress_LeBeau. Mistress_LeBeau.
Yay.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay! All right. You can catch me in-game in Diablo 3 at my battle tag at Dien, D-I-E-N, _, waffle, # thingy, 1737. All right, guys. Now remember, Dungeon Crawler is a Quest Gaming Network podcast written by all the hosts of Dungeon Crawler. Never give out your account information grab a Battle.net authenticator if you're playing Diablo 3, and install antivirus and anti-spyware software and keep them bad boys up to date. Have a great one, everybody. We will see you on the next Dungeon Crawler.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Yay!
Yay!